Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We are going to be continuing this morning in our 2 Timothy series. We just began it last week. Luke and Ricky did a bit of an introduction, gave us some of a background on the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And so today we're going to kind of start digging in into the letter, beginning in chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. And so just kind of a bit of a refresher from what Ricky and Luke said last week. I can just give like a little paraphrase because there was a lot of great stuff. But more of a reminder of what 2 Timothy is. 2 Timothy is a letter from Paul to Timothy. Paul was Timothy's mentor. Paul and Timothy had a very close, tight-knit relationship. It was kind of a mentor to mentee relationship, father to son relationship, and they were very close. And what's so powerful and so important about this letter is that Paul wrote this letter just before he was killed, and so he was in jail at the time, and this was his last chance to communicate something to Timothy, this young man who he'd poured so much of his life into and done so much ministry with. And Timothy was leading the church in Ephesus at the time. And so as we read this and as we go through this, we need to remember to put ourselves in the shoes of Paul, who was in jail, knowing that this could be the last thing that he gets to write and share with Timothy, the last words that he has before his death. And what he wants to pass on to Timothy. And so as we read this, it's amazing and it's powerful to know that this is what Paul chose to pass on in this time. And so we're going to begin. I'm going to read the scripture to you and move from there. 2 Timothy 1, 3 to 7. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames a spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So last week, as Luke and Ricky were kind of framing this letter and the relationship between Paul and Timothy, Luke gave a few examples, modern cultural examples of mentor to mentee relationships like Yoda and Luke Skywalker, etc. And I figured, you know, I could probably one-up Luke on that. And so I'm just going to show you a quick video clip of what I think is one of the most important mentor-mentee relationships in film in our generation.
All right, Ducks. Who's going to take it?
I think he should take it.
Yeah,
what about Charlie?
About Charlie?
What does he say?
Let's let him finish what he started.
Coach, we have a chance to win.
Straight we do. Where? You practicing that triple D?
Yeah.
Then you're all set. You may make it, you may not. But that doesn't matter, Charlie. What matters is that we're here. You look around. Who ever thought we'd make it this far? One, two, three, triple D. Take your best shot. Believe in you, Charlie.
Thanks, Coach.
If I could tell you the amount of times I've tried the triple deke playing street hockey as a kid, that was a very important film for me as a child. love the Mighty Ducks, and really, I love that picture of Coach Bombay and Charlie Conway. If you're not familiar with the film, Coach Bombay is this washed-up hockey player turned lawyer, who ended up having to do community service and coaching this team. And very much like Paul, who was an unexpected person in Scripture, in Christian history, who at one point was persecuting Christians, to leading the church and planting churches and being one of the most important people in Christian history, Coach Bombay was someone that you would never guess would be coaching a minor hockey team to a championship trophy. And Charlie Conway, very much like Timothy, was kind of an average hockey player. He wasn't the best player. Even you can see his teammates going, why is Charlie going to take the shot? And Timothy wasn't necessarily someone you look at and be like, he has all the gifts. He has everything you need to be this guy who's going to be leading a church. But Paul believed in him. And Coach Bombay believed in Charlie, and he gave him that opportunity. And so I think it's good that we remember as we look at this section of Scripture that Paul really isn't telling Timothy much new, but Paul is just taking him and saying, Timothy, I believe in you. I know you have these things. I know you can do these things. Don't be discouraged, because at the time, Timothy was facing a lot of prosecution, a lot of trials, a lot of pushback in leading the church in Ephesus. And Paul is taking this chance to say, I believe in you, and you can do these things. Don't forget. And you'll see in our scripture today that he says, remind, twice. He says, I remind you about this. I remind you this. Don't forget that you can do these things. And so hopefully Mighty Ducks will give you a little bit of a picture around that. But don't stretch the comparison too far, because it's just a movie. So there's a few things we can pull out of what Paul is sharing with Timothy here. And the first thing that I want to talk about is relationship. And if you look at verse 3 and 4, Paul begins by really showing us how much he cares for Timothy. He thanks God for Timothy. He prays for Timothy day and night. He talks about how tears were shed that the last time that they saw each other and they had to say goodbye. And he also talks about how he looks forward to the joy that he will experience when they're reunited. These words give a picture of a deep love and care that Paul has for Timothy. They have a deep and meaningful relationship. In the Message, verse 4 is written this. It says, I miss you a lot, especially when I remember that last tearful goodbye and look forward to a joy-packed reunion. I love that. Joy-packed reunion. Paul's love for Timothy is great. It is awesome. And what I love about this is that, just like Luke and Ricky mentioned last week, his relationship with Timothy and his love for Timothy is very much an example of God's love for us. And when I read this, when I see this, I very much take a picture of like a parent's love for their child, a father's love for his son, someone who is constantly praying for their kid, someone who is always thinking about them, and their heart is torn when they have to say goodbye, and their lives are filled with joy when they get to see them again. And God very much loves us the same way. He loves us like a father, like a parent, but way, 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 way more than we can as human parents. And you know what? Even though we are imperfect, even though we are sinful and we do everything we can to try to make right choices, but we just can't, God still loves us unconditionally. His love is unconditional. And it makes me think back to this moment with my own father. I remember I was playing Little League, and I was probably about 10 or 11 years old. And my dad was watching, just be on the other side of the bench, along the fence. And I was up to bat. And I wasn't the best batter, and so I struck out a lot. But for some reason, that moment, I struck out, and I remember swinging and missing. And it's crazy how these moments stick in our heads. And I looked up, and I saw my dad on the fence. And he gave this look of his heart was breaking for me because he feels bad that his son has struck out, even though it's just a game. It was this look of, I feel so bad. I wish you could have done better, but I love you. But as the son who just struck out, I looked at my dad and I saw a dad who was like, what's wrong with you? And why would you strike out? I'm so disappointed in you. I'm not proud of you. And these lies and these stories I told in my head. And the reason why I remember this moment is because I acted out like in a way that I've never really acted out. And I literally like slammed my bat down and started walking back toward the bench, and I yelled at my dad. And I don't even remember what I said, but I remember like almost like I started an argument with him. Like, it's not my fault or whatever. It was this really bizarre moment of lashing out at my dad just for this small look that he made because he was sad that I struck out. And I remember after the game, my dad not even blinking, not even taking a moment to be like, what's your problem, son? Why are you yelling back at me? Or why did you get mad at me when you're on the field? After the game, he just embraced me and he's just like, good job. I'm proud of you. Great. You know, you've given your best. And he could have gotten really upset with me. He could have held it against me, but he didn't. He showed me this incredible grace and this love and this forgiveness that I'll never forget because I felt like an idiot for the way that I acted toward my dad when really he was just there to support me and love me. And that image and that story for me is exactly how I've experienced God's love and the love that God has for us. That no matter how we treat him, no matter what we do with our lives, he still loves us. And he doesn't even hold it against us. He forgives us without hesitation. And he shows us that unconditional love. And he loves us so much that in that brokenness, he sent his son, Jesus. And he wants to have relationship with us. And in order to restore that relationship with us, Jesus died on the cross. And so that we can have relationship with God. He loves us so much, he wants to have that relationship, no matter what we've done or how he's treated us. And I love this scripture in Romans 3 that explains this so well. Starting in 23, it says this, "For everyone has sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes it right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood." God desires to have relationship with us. And he did this. And Jesus gave up his life so that we can be made right with him and have that relationship. There's no one too far gone. No one. Everyone can have this gift of relationship with God. And when we have that relationship with him, we find peace, we find purpose, we find healing, we find truth, love, grace, forgiveness, mercy, and a new life. It's an incredible gift that we are given. And there's nothing that we have to do to earn that. It's just there for us. So it's incredible to see Paul's love for Timothy and the relationship he has with him, and how we can have the same relationship with God, even greater, on a greater scale. God loves us so much. And if you move to verse 5, it says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you." As Ricky mentioned last week, Timothy didn't become a Christian until he was about in his like early 30s or so. And so he grew up with a Greek father and a Christian mother and grandmother. And it's so cool for us to see how Paul reminds Timothy of this faith that has been passed down to him from his mother and his grandmother. A genuine faith. It's a faith that is strong and will not waver no matter what you face. And it's a faith that his mother and his grandmother lived out and set as an example for him to see. And so when Paul began a relationship with God, this gift that God has given us, he had this relationship, and it was a genuine relationship, a genuine faith, because of the faith that his mother and grandmother passed down to him. In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, it says, "So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold." Genuine faith. We know that we have a genuine faith because when things get tough, when we face trials and hardships, we don't toss it out the window. We don't give up on God, but we hold on. A real faith, a real genuine faith, comes from a new life when we receive and accept Jesus as our Savior. Through our repentance and his mercy and grace and forgiveness, we experience real relationship with God. The example of Timothy's mother and grandmother their faith was so real that they didn't just pass something on that was like, oh, you know, we kind of do this on Sundays when we feel like going, or on Easter and Christmas. You should do the same with us. No, Timothy's mother and grandmother had a real, genuine faith. They were involved in the church in Lystra. They were very much strong, solid Christian women. And that example was passed down to Timothy, that he chose in his 30s as a grown adult that this is something that I want to do. It was a real thing, a real step that Timothy took. And what I love about this is that if we put ourselves in the context of that time, women were not valued in culture. They were not given opportunity to make an impact, even in the church. This didn't happen very much. But what I love is that Paul takes time to emphasize that Timothy, a huge part of our Christian history, someone who helped Paul write some of these letters, who helped Paul start and plant and lead these churches in the beginning of our faith, it all came because of Timothy's mother and grandmother. His faith came from them. These women played such an incredible and powerful role in the beginning of the church. And I love that Paul reminds us of that. And that is very much our story here at Living Waters, too. We value women. Women have been a huge part of our leadership and where our church is today. And actually, women planted this church 60, 70 years ago. And so it's really, really neat to see how Paul emphasizes that and very much how that reflects us here at Living Waters and what we value. And so let's remember that as we live out a genuine faith, we have an incredible opportunity with the people who are closest to us, the people in our families, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our kids, grandkids. We have great opportunity to live out a genuine faith so that those who are closest to us can see that and they'll desire that just as Timothy did. The fruit of our faith and how we live and what we look like, how we speak, how we treat people, will impact those around us. And we can't forget the opportunity we have to share that with our family, just as Timothy's mother and grandmother did. So as Paul explains and reminds Timothy of his genuine faith, along with the genuine faith, along with the relationship that we have with God, when we choose to serve him, we get to have his Holy Spirit in us. And so Paul moves on in verse 6 to say, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." The Holy Spirit is in us. When Jesus left, he sent his Holy Spirit to be in us so that we could go and live a life that he's called us to live. Paul is reminding Timothy in this moment of the gift that God has given him. God had given Timothy a gift to lead the church, to teach and to preach. And for some reason, Paul was concerned that maybe Timothy had forgotten that God had given him that gift. And he wanted to remind him to fan into flame that gift that God had given him. Remind him that the Holy Spirit was in him, and that through the Holy Spirit and through the gifts that God had given Timothy, he can make an impact. He can help lead the church and help face these trials and the persecution and all the speed bumps that he's facing in leading the church. Paul wanted to remind Timothy that he couldn't just rely on his own strength and his own gifts, his own human power, but that he needed to fan into flame the gifts that God had given him, because through the Holy Spirit, we are empowered and we can have so much of a greater impact than just in our own strength. And I love this image that Paul gives when he talks about fanning into flame. And it makes you think of a fire. It made me think of camping. And camping is such a great experience. We live in such a beautiful area here. So many places to go camping. And my kids are just old enough that the last couple of years we've been able to take them camping. And it's so much fun to get them out into nature and get them out to set up tents and set up camp and get the fire going. And the fire is always like the highlight of camping. And luckily, actually, this summer, we actually could have fires. There was no fire bans. And so as we took our two oldest sons camping with some friends this summer, it was so much fun to get them to experience fire. and get to experience the campfire time where you can roast marshmallows and make s'mores and all of that. And what's so great about it is to see their fascination with how fire works. And when you have a fire and you let it burn down, it just kind of is this pile of embers, right? And I remember us working on the fire after we'd let it burn down, and very much like Paul is saying, we need to fan into flame. It's like Timothy's gifts were these embers. They're there. God has given him the embers, but you need to blow on it. You need to fan of those embers. And as you add wood and you blow onto that, it's so cool to see how the flames come out, right? And I love watching our kids watch how the fire built like that. And you blow on the embers and you fan on it. And, well, I had to throw a little bit of newspaper and gas because I'm not that great at building fires. but you see the embers turn into flame. And not only is it great because the kids are like, whoa, you see this fire grow and you see the power in that fire, but you also feel the heat. And you can experience and see the flames and the heat and the power. And Paul isn't just saying fan into flame just for this simple, easy illustration, but he's really trying to remind Timothy that not only do you need to fan those embers, but when you do and that flame, that fire grows, there's power in that and there's impact. And he can't forget to not tap into that power through the Holy Spirit that God has given him. And it's a great encouragement for us because we all have been given gifts. We all have spiritual gifts that God has given us. They may not all be just like Timothy's, but we all have our own gifts. And sometimes we can kind of get into a rut. We can get into a place where either we're just trying to rely on our own power to do things, or we just completely forget that God has given us those things. And as we face things in our lives, and as we try to love people and impact those around us, we try to share our faith, and as we try to work through tough relationships in our lives, we need to remember that God has given us gifts, and we need to fan into flame those gifts. We need to have an open posture and just say, Holy Spirit, empower me. Take those gifts and have them come out so that I can impact those around me. I can be an example of God's love, an example of Jesus, and not just rely on my own strength. But a great image that Paul gives us. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, turn those embers into flames, into a raging, powerful fire so that we can impact those around us. And then finally, Paul transitions into the last verse where he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." In the midst of the challenges that Timothy was facing, Paul's urging Timothy to be bold and to remind him that as we're given the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear and timidity. That's not who the Holy Spirit is. But the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. Fear is a powerful thing. And I know all of us at some point has experienced fear in different ways. Fear can get a hold of us. Fear can handcuff us. And Paul is speaking straight to this fear, not that just Timothy is facing and feeling, but a fear that we all face. I've walked through a season of my life of very strong anxiety. And fear is a huge part of that. It gets a grip on you, and you feel like you're helpless, really. And I had an incredible experience in learning more about the Holy Spirit's role in reminding us that we don't need to be fearful, because God can bring us peace. He can bring us power and strength as we face that fear. And the amazing thing about fear is that without fear, we actually wouldn't know how to be courageous. We wouldn't know how to ask the Holy Spirit to give us strength and power to face that fear. And so even though I hate fear so much, and I do not want it to be a part of my life, without fear, I wouldn't know actually how to fully rely on God's Holy Spirit to give me power and strength to walk through that. And it's amazing how I read this scripture and I prepare a message like this, And I'm going through that exact thing in the moment of preparing. As I walked up onto the stage, fear and anxiety was coming at me because of the how nervous I was to come up here and share with you this morning. And it's great how we have the Holy Spirit to rely on to give us the boldness that we need to come up and do something like this. And I know that fear is evident in me because even last night, as I put my kids to bed, my oldest son, who's 6 years old, asked me if he could pray for me because he knew I was going to be talking this morning. I don't know how. And so I was like, okay, Malachi, you can pray. So he says, God, just pray that Dad won't embarrass himself tomorrow. When he goes up in front of the adults, please don't help him embarrass himself. He said it twice. Amen. That was all it was. And I'm sitting there going, whoa, he can see right through me. That's exactly how I'm feeling. But it was so cool because even in that moment, it was like, yes, God, you know what? I do feel like I might embarrass myself and I am anxious and I am fearful of going up and sharing this word. But I know that because of your Holy Spirit, you will give me the boldness I need to get up there, and you will give me the courage, and you will give me the love that I need to go up there and share your word. I'm almost done, so we'll see if I still have a chance to embarrass myself. But we face a lot of fears in life. We face the fear of our life changing. We face the fear of loss, losing those around us. We fear the unknown. The unknown is a huge fear. We love to have control. I love to be in control. I love to know what's going to happen next. And so the fear of the unknown can really take us over. We fear relationships, hard relationships that we have in our lives and how we are to deal with them and how we are to walk through them. And we fear sharing with people about Jesus. And Carly's story there is a great example. It's totally normal to be like, how do I invite my friend to Alpha? How do I step out of my door and give them this mug that I know God wants me to do this, but how do I do it? Because we have these fears that come up and keep us from doing these things and dealing with these things. But like Paul said, the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear and timidity. It's of power, love, and self-discipline. The power helps us to be bold. The power helps us to step out of that front door and run down to the driveway and say, here's a present. I don't know you. I'm sorry. This might be awkward, but take it. But see what happened out of that story. How cool is that, right? It gives us the boldness to do that, to be courageous and to speak life to those around us. It allows us to love in a way that is so much greater than we can love. We are just mere human, imperfect beings. And we cannot love the way that God can love, but through his Holy Spirit, he can allow us to love in extraordinary ways. He can allow us to love the people that are hardest to love around us. He can allow us to love and show forgiveness and grace and mercy in relationships where people have hurt us, in relationships where we don't know what to do with. But through his Holy Spirit, he can give us that extraordinary love, that supernatural love, in those situations, to deal with that stuff, to love people and to go the extra mile for those that's really the hardest to do for. And he gives us self-discipline in order for us to be effective in our relationships and to be effective in what God is calling us to do. We need to be disciplined first in our own lives. And the Spirit will help us with that. And the great thing about this is that it's a participation. It's not just us on our own or just the Holy Spirit on its own. It's us doing it with the Holy Spirit. These characteristics do not come from our own self-effort, but they are byproducts of giving Christ control of our lives. They grow in us as we know Christ, as we love him, remember him, and imitate him. It's participation. We do it hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. How cool it is that no matter what we face, we serve a God and we have a spirit within us that is of power and love and self-discipline. So thankful for this letter from Paul and these words from Paul this morning. And so as we wrap up this morning, I just want to encourage you that if you are here with us this morning and you hear about this relationship that God wants to have and desires and just is hungry to have with you, but you haven't had the chance to experience that relationship. Or maybe even you go, you know, I've known God a long time, or I grew up in a home where I went to church, but that idea of genuine faith, you know, if my faith really got tested or my relationship with God really got tested, what would happen to it? If you have a desire to have that relationship or to take that extra step of trust with God so that your faith is a faith that is genuine and it will hold on no matter what, you can do that this morning. You can do that right now, here today. Just reach out. Reach out to Jesus and say, I want to know you. I want to have that relationship. It's a free gift. There's nothing that you have to do to earn that. It's just there. A loving, powerful God who forgives and forgets and wants to be in relationship with you. And so don't be shy. Just talk to him. Take that opportunity to take a step and talk to someone about it so they can help you understand it a bit more. If you already have that relationship, we have an opportunity this morning to be reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so if those embers are just sitting there and just waiting to go out, ask the Holy Spirit just to come and remind you of the gifts that he's given you, to empower you again, to face the things that you're facing in life, to do the work of the kingdom, whether it's in your work or your home or your school, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, whether you're someone like me up here sharing the word, or you're a mechanic fixing cars, or you're serving coffee, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit's giving you gifts to have an impact in those moments. And if you're facing fear and you're facing timidity, whether it's in things of the unknown, whether it's in grief, whether it's in relationship, or whether it's just in going, I know there's someone I need to invite to Alpha. Whatever that fear may be, take a moment today and just say, Holy Spirit, God, I give you that. I know you're not a God of fear. I know you can give me power and love. And I know that your Holy Spirit can produce fruit in me as I pursue you and ask you and take that posture that the Holy Spirit can come and get us through whatever we are facing. Because he is powerful, he is loving, he is mighty, and he is a father who loves us even greater than that moment when my dad showed that forgiveness and love for me. He is a great, loving father who wants to see amazing things in our lives. And we can all be a part of this journey. We all get to be a part of seeing God's love impact the world around us. It's an incredible journey to be a part of. It's an incredible family and cause to be a part of. And we all get to be a part of that through the power of his Holy Spirit. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much for this time to be together as your family, to come and to worship and to praise and to pray for each other and to hear from your word. God, we pray right now, Holy Spirit, that your word will just be so real in our hearts this morning. What Paul wrote in this letter to Timothy, God, that those things will stick with us, that they will speak to us, God, and that we will take action to participate with you, with your Holy Spirit, to see those embers in our hearts just turn into flame, God, to see your Holy Spirit work through us so that we can have an impact on the world around us and work through us so that we can see healing and change in our relationships and in whatever it is that we're facing in our lives, to see your Holy Spirit come in power, God. And Lord, I pray especially for anyone here this morning that feel drawn to know you more, that feel like, you know what, maybe this relationship is something that I want to try out, or maybe I really need to rethink how much you are on my priority list, that I really want to take a step in trusting you and move into having a genuine faith, God. We just pray for those people right now, God, that you continue to speak to them, God, that you continue to reveal yourself to them, and that they will truly see and know how much you love them, and how that in their brokenness and our brokenness and my brokenness, you can save us, you can bring healing, and you can bring relationship and give us a life that is full and a life that is for eternity with you. We ask this in your powerful and mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you. I didn't embarrass myself, I don't think. And enjoy your Sunday. We'll see you back here next Sunday.